You guys, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books was nominated for a Webby Award, which is this really prestigious award that I am dying to win. And there's a People's Voice component, and you can vote and get me from number two, second place, to first place. But you have to vote. Please go to vote.webbys.com. Vote.webbys.com, but it's kind of complicated, so it might be easier just to go to zibbyowens.com or my Instagram at zibbyowens, where it'll always be in my stories and it's in one of those little circle highlights. Please, please, please vote. Voting ends April 18th and I'm in second place, so please vote for best individual episode, talk show, interview show. Thank you so much.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hi, I'm Zibby Owens, and you're listening to the award-winning podcast, Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. If you like this podcast, you will love my new anthology called Moms Don't Have Time to Have Kids. Check it out, and you'll hear from 49 authors about all sorts of things moms don't have time to do. All the authors have been on this podcast. Also, check out my TikTok, at With Zibby and Tracy, my other podcast, Sex Talk with Zibby and Tracy. Check out Moms Don't Have Time to Write on Medium. And of course, my new publishing company called Zibby Books. And now back to our daily author interview site and a quick hello from some of my kids.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello. Enjoy the show. Melanie Kirkpatrick is the author of Thanksgiving, the holiday at the heart of the American experience. And again, I hope you are all having an amazing Thanksgiving in 2021, filled with lots of joy and fun and football and food and all the good things. Melanie is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute and a former deputy editor of the Wall Street Journal's editorial page. She is the author of Lady Editor, Sarah Josepha Hale and the Making of the Modern American Woman, Thanksgiving, the Holiday at the Heart of the American Experience, and Escape from North Korea, the Untold Story of Asia's Underground Railroad. She has lived in Tokyo, Toronto, Hong Kong, and Manhattan, and now resides in rural Connecticut. Welcome, Melanie. Thank you so much for coming on Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books to discuss Thanksgiving, the holiday at the heart of the American experience from 1621 to 2021.
It's great to be with you, Zibby, and I love talking about Thanksgiving, my favorite holiday.
Oh, well, I learned so much about Thanksgiving from this book. I mean, there were so many things that I had no idea about. For example, and maybe this is embarrassing to admit, I didn't know there was a Forefathers Day. I didn't know the extent to the of the campaign to make it a national day and the ins and outs of that, which I found fascinating. And even like the Jews of Charleston and their, you know, so many interesting things that I learned. So thank you very much.
You're welcome. I had great fun researching it. And, you know, it's not just all about the Pilgrims and the Indians. Thanksgiving has been a part of many, many facets of American life. And it truly is, as the subtitle says, a holiday that's at the heart of the American experience.
So true. And I'm also now sort of obsessed with Sarah Josepha Hale. I read about her in your book and read another book about her recently. I saw that you wrote an actual book all about her. So then I was like,
yes. It's my latest book. It's called Lady Editor. And I think she is probably the most influential woman of the 19th century and one of the most influential women of American history. It was fascinating to research her life, and my ambition is to make her better known.
Totally. I just found her so inspiring, like the Oprah of her day, and really amazing. More than that. Yeah. Is there going to be a movie about her? What do you think?
I wish too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a lady who was widowed, left with four children and a fifth on the way. And it went on to remake herself as editor of Godey's Ladies Book and one of the most widely circulated, or the most widely circulated, magazine of the pre-Civil War period. And she did so much to help women get educations. And she was the godmother of Thanksgiving, our modern Thanksgiving Day holiday. And I bet you didn't know that she wrote Mary Had a Little Lamb.
I did know that now that I read this book. But right. Before that, I did not know that. There was like nothing she couldn't do. And she's even campaigning with Abraham Lincoln to make it a holiday. I mean, she has, you know, using the pages of her magazine for her campaign, writing to Abraham Lincoln. She was a poet, right? There was so much about her. She seems just like such a take charge woman, from recipes to
She was a celebrity in her day and deserves to be better known today, I think, and her accomplishments acknowledged. But the part that I found most powerful, well, of course, Thanksgiving, that's a tremendous accomplishment. The lady who, through her magazine, persuaded many Americans to sign on to this idea of a national Thanksgiving Day. Before her, Thanksgivings were celebrated locally, and governors of individual states would call Thanksgivings, but they didn't coordinate. So all Americans celebrated on different days around the country until she came along, and Lincoln took up her proposal in 1863 in the middle of the Civil War, which was amazing in itself. And we've been celebrating Thanksgiving, all Americans together, on the same day ever since.
I like how you even talked about why it's the Thursday that it is, because that was the one that all this was in the middle of all the states that they could finally agree on, because some were later in November and some were earlier. And this was sort of the happy medium.
Yeah, it was a happy medium. And she was a very powerful figure in the 19th century. Her influence was great because of the editorship of her magazine. But she also was a very realistic woman, I think. And so compromise was okay. She was able to compromise. But it was a compromise, you're right. But it was also the date, the last Thursday of November was the holiday was the day that George Washington called for a national Thanksgiving in 1789, his first year as president. And Hale was a passionate admirer of George Washington. So that made her happy.
That's exciting. That's just so, I mean, I just love this. It's really neat. And I didn't realize, you know, it was nice of you, well, not nice, but eye-opening of you when you talked about what happened in Charleston and how some nations, as they started adopting the Thanksgiving, said it was for Christians, right? This would be an occasion for all Christians to celebrate the land and not Jews and heathens and other people like that. I happen to be Jewish, so I found this very fascinating. And that the Jewish people of the day wrote a whole letter back, which you included, Jews of Charleston letter in 1845. And eventually, of course, it all works out, but you know.
Yes. Yeah. Well, this was a really important, I think, development in the history of Thanksgiving. George Washington had made it clear when he proclaimed a national Thanksgiving that it was to be open to all people. And he was famously ecumenical. And he saw himself as the first president as being very important in setting examples for future presidents. And presidents have been pretty good, have been very good about that, making it clear that Thanksgiving is an open holiday. There's, you know, doesn't discriminate on the basis of anything. But not every governor was. And the governor of South Carolina of the day thought Thanksgiving should only be for Christians, and that would exclude Jews or Unitarians or Muslims or, you know, anybody else. But it was great the way the Jews of Charleston fought back and in a public way made it clear that this was a holiday for people of all faiths. And the governor who had made this proclamation, his term ended a few weeks after Thanksgiving that year. And one of the first actions of the new governor was to issue a new Thanksgiving proclamation saying that it was open to everybody.
Wow. Well, I know we already have a National Independent Bookstore Day today, but I feel like maybe we need on the national level some sort of national day of reading or something with books or authors or something that we could try to institute. What do you think?
Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Make sure Josepha Hale is included in it.
Yeah.
Of Thanksgiving. But, you know, I think getting back to the idea of reading a National Book Day, I think Americans, especially young people, need to be better educated on the holiday. There are a lot of myths that float around the first Thanksgiving in particular. And, you know, it would enhance the meaning of our Thanksgiving if we learned more about the holiday.
Rebag, your premier destination for luxury resale. Elevate your style with our curated collection of bags, watches, and fine jewelry. At Rebag, quality is our priority. Each piece meticulously vetted and verified by experts, ensuring your investment is nothing short of perfection. Buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Access expertly crafted and hard-to-find pieces that redefine luxury. Your next investment awaits at Rebag. Get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. That's 10% off the luxury you deserve. Don't miss out. Head to Rebag.com and enter code REBAG10 at checkout. That's REBAG10.
Today's episode has been sponsored by Jay McLaughlin. Jay McLaughlin is a timeless lifestyle brand with incredible style and a spirit of connection. I am obsessed with Jay McLaughlin and have been so honored that they are sponsoring my Zibbyverse tour. It just so happens that the tour goes to so many communities and areas of the country that have Jay McLaughlin stores. And I love that the brand is philanthropic through Jay McLaughlin's local and loyal programming. Host store events to give back to organizations that are meaningful to Jay McLaughlin's local communities. I also love the fact that the clothes are just so chic. They make me feel polished and modern, and the best part is that most of the line comes in fabrics that don't wrinkle. I especially love the dresses, the cashmere sweaters, the other sweaters. You'll see them all over my Instagram. I typically tag at Jay McLaughlin, and so you can check it out. It is absolutely one of my favorite brands, and I am over the moon excited to be working with them. In fact, I want to share the love with all of you. Jay McLaughlin is giving 20% off new customers and listeners of my podcast with special code ZIBBY20, capital ZIBBY 20. That's 20% off for new customers and listeners of the podcast with special code capital ZIBBY20. Take advantage of it today. My favorites are this white, open, long cashmere sweater that I've been wearing on every flight that I've taken on this tour. I have a blue with light blue horizontal striped sweater, several dresses I even wore on Good Morning America. Check it out, Jay McLaughlin. Thanks so much.
Hey, grownups. The Cat in the Hat cast is a new podcast from Wondery, perfect for the whole family. Join the Cat in the Hat and your favorite Dr. Seuss characters as they get whisked away on a new adventure every week. Fish dreams of creating his very own polite and quiet podcast. That is, until he gets a surprise visit to his Fishbowl podcast studio from the Cat in the Hat himself, and it becomes very clear that the cat has other plans for the podcast, and those plans are the opposite of quiet. The cat may be disruptive, but it turns out he's also a great help to get Fish out of all kinds of predicaments. Bursting with music, silliness, and rhymes, the Cat in the Hat cast encourages us all to find fun that is funny in every episode. So sing along to new favorite songs, try your luck at Titanic tongue twisters, have some fun with wondrous wordplay, and most importantly, bring your family along for all of the adventures in the Cat in the Hat cast. Follow the Cat in the Hat cast on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to the Cat in the Hat cast ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts.
I agree. I think there should be a movie that is called Thanksgiving or Hail or something. And I think it should be about Sarah Josepha Hail and the development of Thanksgiving. And then you could play it like every Thanksgiving, like Charlie Brown's Thanksgiving and all those movies. It would be one of those things. Anyway,
well,
I'll see if I can help.
And I'd love to be an advisor to them because I've learned a lot about Thanksgiving and Sarah Josepha Hail over the years. She is an eminently interesting character for a movie, you know, a widow who goes on to remake herself as a lady editor in a time when she was the first successful woman as editor of a publication. And she campaigned, it's hard to believe, when she started her first magazine in 1828, only half of American women were literate, and there was not a single institution of higher education that admitted women. So she campaigned, and she was an editor for 50 years, and every month, every issue of her magazines had something about women's education in it. She believed that women were the intellectual equals of men. But the reason they couldn't succeed in professions and work outside the home in general was because they weren't educated. That was an exclusive privilege of men. And she campaigned about this in her magazine for years. And she really, in my view, changed the national conversation, so to speak, about what women were capable of. And in that way, she was extremely influential in the issues that later came. She, for example, thought women should be teachers. And back in the 1830s, as the public schools were opening up around the country, there was a view that only men could teach kids. Women could be relegated to teaching small children, but not older kids. And Hail thought that women could teach any subject to anybody so long as they were educated in that area. She also supported women becoming doctors and thought that women doctors should treat women and children exclusively, that men didn't, you know, kind of have the nature to understand women and children. And she wanted to be the exclusive privilege of women. And she also supported women working in many other fields, like being postmistresses, being waitresses. Now that seems pretty mundane, but there was a period when only men were being waiters. and then when Vassar College was in the works, one of the first colleges for women, she advised Matthew Vassar, the founder of the school, in many ways. The idea was to create a preeminent intellectual institution for women, and she was very impactful there. But on another subject, she used her magazine to help create an American culture. She believed that the country had been unified politically by the revolution, but it wasn't yet unified culturally. Everybody was still looking toward the mother country, and the country wasn't developing its own literature, for example. And she announced that she was going to publish American authors writing on American topics. Now, this seems obvious from the perspective of the 21st century, but back then it was unusual because a lot of publications were made up of articles that have been stolen from British publications or other American publication and just cut and pasted into their own publication without credit. Whereas Hail published original work, and she also supported a lot of young American writers who were just getting started, like Harriet Beecher Stowe, 25 years before she wrote Uncle Tom's Cabin, Edgar Allan Poe, Nathaniel Hawthorne, and many, many other writers who are now classic figures in our literature. And beyond literature, she went on to Oprah-like help create kind of common American aesthetic. She published recipes. She was the first one to publish a recipe section in her publication. And she championed the white wedding gown and the Christmas tree, two customs that obviously are still going strong today.
Wow. It's really amazing because it also shows that if you just take enough interest and have enough sort of commitment to something, you can really change the country. I mean, of course, the whole history of America speaks to that. But
yes,
especially as a woman and a mother, and I just find this so personally energizing to know that she made such a difference at a time when it was really tricky to do so, including
yes.
how we celebrate Thanksgiving.
Edgar Allan Poe called her a woman of genius and, excuse the sexism, masculine energy.
Yeah, well, no surprise with that. And you have been with the Wall Street Journal for a long time, right? Or tell me about
yes,
that.
Yes, I worked for the Wall Street Journal for 30 years in Hong Kong and then in New York City, where I wrote editorials, was op-ed editor and deputy editor of the opinion section. So I had a wonderful career and now I'm writing books.
Wow, that's exciting. How do you feel being on the book side? Do you miss the newsroom atmosphere?
I do. You know, the energy of being in working for a daily newspaper can be intoxicating. And having to focus my mind on digesting and understanding so many issues that are in the news these days, and then writing a coherent opinion piece about it, or soliciting a coherent opinion piece, is hard work, but it's very satisfying work. So I do miss that. At the same time, it's been very satisfying to me to be able to focus my attention on a single subject in my writing. And though my first book was on North Korea and my second book on Thanksgiving, and now Sarah Josepha Hale, who's an offshoot of my research into Thanksgiving. But I keep my hand in with the paper, writing an occasional article or book review for them.
Wow. What subject are you going to tackle next?
I haven't decided. I may go back to a North Korean topic, but I'm welcome to ideas if you have any.
Sure.
I'm evaluating different thoughts right now.
Excellent. I mean, you could just go to the next holiday, find out who the main person was in that. You could do a whole thing on uncovering American holiday history or something.
Yeah. Well, that's a thought.
All right. Not a great one. Okay. You'll think of something better. Do you have any advice for aspiring authors?
My advice is probably the one they've heard before, which is keep at it, keep writing, and keep reading. A lot of what I learned about being a writer was from reading what other people wrote. And you know, writing, and another thing I'll say is that a lot of people want to be a writer, they say, but you have to write about something. You have to know something. So you just don't pick up a pen or open your laptop and say, okay, I'm going to write today. You have to know something. So that means you have to educate yourself. You have to do a lot of research or reporting. And that requires a lot of tedious work as well as interesting work. So once you know a subject, it's a lot easier to write about it.
Yes. Although there are plenty of people who write about things with no research and just like, you know, whatever's on their minds, which is also.
And that's a problem. That's you're right. And that's a problem, especially with our media today. It's much more off the cuff than it is fully developed. So, you know, you can have people who are glib talkers or good writers, but they are know-nothings. And that does not help the reader or the viewer. It might entertain them, but it doesn't educate them.
Right. Well, hopefully the people listening to this will have something good to say and then write it. Well, thank you so much for this book. And I'm going to go read the Sarah Josepha Hale book next. I only had this one for Thanksgiving for the theme and the timing, but I'm so interested in her now. And I don't know.
I'm on a roll. I'm going
to
keep.
Well, that's great to hear. And I hope you like the book, and I'd be welcome to come back and talk more about Sarah Josepha Hale. But in the meantime, let me be the first to wish you a happy Thanksgiving.
You are the first, so I will let you. Happy Thanksgiving to you too.
Thank you very much, Sippy.
Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Don't forget to follow me on Instagram at Zibby Owens and at Moms Don't Have Time to Read Books. Also sign up for my newsletter at ZibbyOwens.com and sign up for my virtual book club and meet lots of authors on Zoom every other week. Thanks so much to Steve and Ryan at Texture Sound for the sound editing. And thank you to Morning Moon Productions for providing this fantastic intro and outro music.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There are stories and mythology that this country has woven around Black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like wary of the police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.